Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everyone. How are we doing on this lovely Sunday morning? 9 a.m., are we awake? Oh, fantastic. I see lots of smiling, happy faces before me. That's awesome. Well, welcome, everyone. I'm so glad that you decided to join us on this wonderful Sunday morning. And hey, if you're joining us online, if you're live streaming us, well, welcome. It's so awesome that you could tune in this morning as well. And listen, if we haven't met before, my name is Sadara, and I have the privilege of being on staff here at The Rocks Church. And I also have the privilege of speaking to you for the next little while this morning. So today, I'm going to be talking about something that's really close to my heart. And so I'm ready, I'm raring to go. So I wonder if it's okay. Can we just dive right in? Can we get going straight away? Is that okay? Yeah. Cool. Well, why don't we pray together and then we'll kick off. Father God, we thank you so much for your presence, God. We don't take for granted that we can come and we can sit and we can worship you, God. Thank you that we can come boldly into your presence. And we thank you for the power of your word, God. We believe that it is transformational. And today I'm praying, Holy Spirit, that you will take these words of mine and you will let my words fall to the ground, but the words of God, the words that give life and spirit and hope, those words will take deep root in our hearts and they will start changing us from the inside out. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and to brood and breathe in this place. We love you, Lord. We honor you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Okay, so as we get going this morning, I like to do a little crowd survey sometimes. Firstly, it's to make sure everyone's awake. But secondly, it's also because I'm a little bit interested. So this morning, I want to know if we have any adrenaline junkies in the house. You know, like, you're the type of person who loves that rush, that thrill, that rush of that hit of adrenaline that you get when, you know, maybe you're in a fast car or maybe you're like, you do some extreme sports or maybe you like to go on to theme parks and you like to get on roller coasters and you get that rush of adrenaline. You're like, yeah. Do we have any adrenaline junkies in the house this morning? Oh, okay. Okay. Wow. Loads of them on the worship team in the band. That's cool. That's great. That's awesome. Well, listen, that's awesome. That's cool. I respect that. But for those of you who have your hands firmly by your side, I am with you because I like to live. And, you know, if we ever go to a theme park, if we ever go to an amusement park, you know, with all of the rides and all there is to see there and all there is to do, I'm the one making a beeline to the hot dog stand because 9 times out of 10, I'm just there for the food. But last year, Dev and I had the awesome opportunity to travel to America, and we visited Disney World and Universal Studios in Florida, and that was amazing. Yeah, see, there we are, looking all happy. That's before we went on any rides, so that's why we look so happy. And you know, Universal Studios and Disney World, they're two of the biggest theme parks in the whole world, right? And in these theme parks, you have some world-famous rides. So what do you do when you're petrified of roller coasters, when you're not an adrenaline junkie, and you go to two world-famous theme parks? Well, you put your big girl pants on and you go on some rides. And so that is essentially what we did. We even went on some mini roller coasters. And while I was standing in line, I took a little clip of one of these mini roller coasters and I thought we could have a look at it. So let's take a look at the screen. Yeah, that's a mini roller coaster. Hands up if that would be petrifying to you. Yeah, me too. So I debated whether I was going to lose my life by getting on this mini roller coaster. And I decided, you know what? There are four-year-olds who are so, they're so excited. They're jumping up and down. They can't wait to get on this roller coaster. And I'm peeing my pants just standing in line. But church, I'm proud to tell you, I did it. I went on the roller coaster. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you're invested in my journey of courage. And what's even more exciting is that I actually kind of enjoyed it. I know. But don't give me too much credit because when you go on some of these rides, they actually capture a few photos of you while you're on the ride. So here are two of those photos. Yeah, they're two separate rides, and my posture is exactly the same. Clinging onto Dev's bicep, praying to God that my life was not going to end this way. But take a look at this second photo here. I love Dev in these photos because on the first photo, he's like, whoa, you know, I'm a little bit scared. But on the second photo, he's not like, woohoo, but he's like, whoa, I'm kind of there. So he kind of got a little bit of courage, but we had an awesome time, and those are some really great memories. And I have to admit, as much as I'm scared of roller coasters, I'm actually quite fascinated by them as well. You know, if you've ever been on a roller coaster, you'll know that sometimes they start off pretty tame, and other times they can start off pretty wild. Sometimes they go fast, sometimes they go slow, sometimes they dip when you don't expect it, sometimes they go this way when you think they're going that way. And it can be pretty terrifying, but also it can be pretty exciting. Now, I've known about God for most of my life. In fact, I grew up a Catholic, and I went to a convent school. But I would say that my relationship with God really became real to me. It became personal to me in my first year of university. And that was about 17 years ago now. And as I've journeyed with God over the last 17 years, I've come to find that this life of faith is a little bit like a roller coaster ride too. See, sometimes when God calls you into a life of faith, it zigs when you thought it was going to zag. Sometimes it goes really fast, and sometimes it becomes really slow. Sometimes you go up, and sometimes you go down. Sometimes you don't know what's coming around the corner. And it can be scary. It can be nerve-wracking. Sometimes it can even be overwhelming, but it's always beautiful. It's always exhilarating, and I found it's always fulfilling. You know, this ride of faith is one that I wouldn't trade for anything in the world. I wonder this morning what your experience of faith has been like. Perhaps you're not a Christian here this morning. Perhaps you don't even believe in God. Well, I'm really glad that you're here. And I believe for you that by the time we're done this morning, you're going to have a lot to think about. Perhaps you'll even find that this ride of faith is one that you actually want to be on. Or maybe you're here and you've been a Christian for all your life, for a really long time. I wonder, as you look back over your life, what has your experience of faith been like? Has your faith built and developed and grown as you've journeyed with God? Have you got on this roller coaster, this wild roller coaster ride that He calls you on? Or if you're honest with yourself this morning, as you look back over your life, would you say that you've been too scared or too nervous or too fearful or too comfortable to actually get on the ride at all? Because you see, we all have a choice. See, when we put our faith in Jesus, we receive the gift of eternal life simply by believing in Him, simply through receiving that from Him. That's great. That's eternity sorted. But we're all breathing here, aren't we? What about the here and now? Because God didn't intend for us to live our lives just biding our time till we get to heaven. No, God has a life of passion, of purpose, of significance, and of extreme fulfillment for every single one of us. But to step into all that He has for us, to unlock the door to all that, we need a key. And that key is faith. As George Michael said, we gotta have faith. And perhaps you say, well, yes, I know that. You know, I've been taught that all my life, but it's not as easy as you say, is it? It's easier said than done because we all know that it can get scary. We all know that it can be unnerving. We all know that it can get overwhelming to relinquish control like that. And I get it because I myself feel like that all the time. But I always remember something that Max Lucado said. He said, God never said that the journey would be easy, but He did say that the arrival would be worthwhile. God never tells us that the journey is going to be easy, but He always promises that the arrival will be worthwhile. Because you see, fulfillment, true fulfillment, true significance, true purpose is only found in a life of faith. It's never easy, but it's always worthwhile. And I know that to be true because it's been true in my life. Faith has opened doors for me that I never thought would be open. It's taken me to spaces that I never thought I'd be in. It's called out purpose in me, and it's propelled me to be more like Jesus. And every single one of us, every single one of you, no matter who you are, no matter where you've come from, God has a life of purpose, of significance, and impact waiting for you. But we need that key. We need faith. And so this morning, I thought it would be helpful to talk about a man who's called the father of faith, a man named Abraham. And even if you're not a Christian here this morning, you maybe have heard of him. He's pretty famous. He's the guy that that God chose to be the father of the Israelite people, his chosen people. Abraham is the guy who believed God, who had faith in God when God told him that he was going to give him a son. And he was 75 years old at this point. And he waited 25 years until that promise came to pass. Imagine having faith for 25 years between what God had spoken and then when it was fulfilled. But we know, don't we, that Abraham's faith, it wasn't perfect. He didn't live a perfect life, and by no means was Abraham a perfect man. But here is one thing that Abraham did always do. Abraham always responded to the call of God with faith, even from the very beginning. And we're going to take a look at a portion of scripture here this morning from Genesis chapter 12, and it's titled The Call of Abraham. And we're going to take a first-hand look at when God first called Abraham and how Abraham responded to the call of God. This is what it says in Genesis chapter 12. It says, The Call of Abraham. And we're going to read a few verses together. Verse 1, The Lord had said to Abram, his name changed to Abraham later on. He said, Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And God promises Abraham, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. And Lot, who was his nephew, he went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. How do we respond to the call of God in our lives? We need faith. And so how do we develop, how do we build, how do we grow the kind of faith that Abraham had? Well, I believe these few short verses, they give us two foundational keys. To develop, to grow our faith, to say yes to the call of God, to say yes to a life of faith, firstly, we need to learn to hear. We need to learn to hear. In Romans chapter 10, Paul says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. We see that for Abraham, he responded to what he had heard. Because what did Genesis 12:1 say? It said the Lord had said to Abraham. So God had spoken to Abraham and he heard the call of God. He heard the voice of God. Do you believe this morning that God is not just real, but that He speaks to us today? You know, sometimes people think that this God that we serve, that He's a pie in the sky God, but God is not a distant God. God is a God who comes close to us, who longs for relationship with us. He longs to communicate and to interact with us. You know, sometimes when I'm out socially and people ask me what I do for a job and I say, oh, I work for a church or, oh, I'm a pastor, they say, ooh, that's cool, but I'm not really into that whole religion stuff. And I'm like, great, neither am I. Religion didn't change my life. Relationship did. Because that's true, isn't it? Religion doesn't change lives. Relationship with God does. And perhaps you're not a Christian here this morning. And maybe you thought that Christianity was all about rules and regulations and rituals. But I want to tell you this morning that first and foremost, Christianity is about relationship. It's about a relationship with God. God, the Almighty Father. And perhaps you're here this morning and you've been a Christian all your life. And you say, listen, I do my daily devotions. I tick all the boxes. I read YouVersion in the morning. I read my Bible in the morning every single day. I come to church every single Sunday. I play some worship songs in my car when I'm coming back from work. And, you know, I'm thinking about joining a serving team right now. Are you telling me that there's more? Well, yes. Now, hear what I'm saying this morning. Of course we should read our Bibles. Of course we should worship God on our own. Of course we should come to church. Of course we should give. Of course we should serve. Of course we should reach out to the people around us. But you see, we need to understand that all of those things, they are pathways to a person. They are avenues to someone. They all enable a living, live, dynamic, real relationship with God. They're all means to an end, and that end is God Himself. It's not enough just to know about God, because we can know God Himself. And God speaks to us through His Word, His written Word, the Bible. Hebrews says that this Word, it's living and it's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. You see, the words in the Bible, they're more than just words on paper. These words, they're transformational. They have the power to change your life, all your life, every single day of your life. The Bible, the Word of God, is living and it's active. But you can also hear the voice of God through the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. And I'm not talking about a loud, booming voice, not talking about being weird. But for me, it's often like a gentle nudge or an impression in my heart or a compelling conviction that won't let you go. The voice of God, the still small voice of God, it resonates inside of you. It speaks to the deepest parts of your soul because God speaks to us today. He calls us, He guides us, and He leads us. And if we want to develop our faith, we must learn to hear His voice. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He talks about Himself as the good shepherd, and He says this about Him. He says, He calls His own sheep by name, and He leads them out. When He has brought out all His own, He goes on ahead of them, and His sheep follow Him because they know His voice. They know His voice. To follow the call of God, to respond to a life of faith, to go wherever He leads, we first need to know His voice. The voice of the Good Shepherd. The voice of God. See, in order to develop our faith, we must learn to hear. Because faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. Where can you make space in your heart? Where can you make space in your day, in your everyday life, to hear the voice of God, the one who calls you into a life of glorious abundance, who longs to commune with you every single day, each and every single one of you? Where can you make space to hear His voice in your life? Secondly, to develop, to grow, and to build our faith, we must be willing to move. We must be willing to move because faith requires movement. Look at this. When God speaks to Abraham, what does He say in verse 1? He says, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. He says, go. He says, move. He says, act, because faith requires movement. And notice what it says in verse 4. It says that Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. 75 years old. Can you imagine that? You've lived your whole life in one place for 75 years. And then God calls you to leave everything you know, leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household, leave your possessions, leave everything that you own, leave your favorite coffee shop, leave your favorite people, leave your friends, leave everything and go to where I will show you. Imagine doing that at 75 years old. you know, I can identify with Abraham a little bit, having moved countries twice at the leading of God. I know how heart-wrenching and gut-wrenching it is to leave behind people and places that you love. But imagine making that kind of move when you're 75 years old, when you're comfortable with where you are, when you've got your routines down, when you've got your surroundings sorted, when you've got your habits down. But isn't that why I and so many of us struggle to say yes to the call of God? Because we're comfortable where we are? But the truth of the matter is that often we have to give up our comfort in order to inherit our calling. Often we'll find in this life of faith that we have to give up our comfort in order to inherit our calling. Because our calling is often at the end of our comfort. It's often at the other side of our comfort zone. Why? Because that's what develops faith. That's what develops faith. But wait, it actually gets even better than that. Do you notice the language? Do you notice the language in verse 1? When God says, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Abraham doesn't even know where he's going. He doesn't even know where he's going. Imagine that conversation with your family. You gather everyone around for Sunday lunch, and you're like, hey, family, we're moving. They're like, really? You're moving? Where? You're like, great question. I don't know. So you're moving, you're going, but you don't know where you're going. Yep, that about sums it up. Just imagine that conversation. Imagine having to tell people that you love that you're going, but you don't know where you're going. Imagine what that does in yourself. Imagine if that was you and you were Abraham, and God was calling you to leave behind everything that you knew and trust Him to show you where you're going next. See, there's so much faith required in just these few short verses. And Abraham always responds in faith. God said, go, and so Abraham did, and he trusted that God would show him where. Martin Luther King Jr. said, faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase. Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase. You know, as Pastor Daniel said earlier, look, God has given us a brain. And we must use it. We must always exercise wisdom. But at the end of the day, sometimes faith is about taking a step even when you don't know the whole story. Sometimes faith is being willing to follow the direction of God even when you don't know all the details. What about you here this morning? What about your next faith step? Perhaps you're not a Christian here. And maybe your faith step this morning is to say, listen, I don't understand all the details. I'm not quite sure I get all the fine print, but I want to know if God is real. In fact, I want to know if I can have a relationship with God myself. Maybe that's a step of faith for you. And if that is you, we would love to be able to help you on that journey. So please do come and see one of us, or you can head to the connection desk at the end of our gathering. We would love to help you with that next step. But maybe you're here and you've been a Christian for a long time, and maybe that step for you, that next step in your faith, maybe that's taking a step where you've been avoiding taking a step. Maybe you felt God challenging you and leading you in your business area or in your finance, but you've just been too scared to see it through. Maybe that step is a step that you need to take today. Or maybe for you, it's in the area of your comfort. As Pastor D said, Jason Perkins, he talked to us so brilliantly last week about getting involved and about serving. And maybe, just maybe, you've been saying, listen, I'd like to do that, but with the kids and with all, I don't know if it's going to work out with our routine, or you know, maybe it's just a busy season for you right now. But maybe this morning, your step of faith is to sacrifice your comfort to take up His calling. Or maybe for you, it's in the area of your friends and your co-workers and your neighbors, those people that have been asking about your faith, but you've been too afraid to invite them to church. Look, I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what your journey has been like, but I know for each and every single one of us, there is a step of faith that God is calling us to. What's your step today? And will you say yes to the calling of God? See, I've been talking to you about the story of Abraham and about Abraham's faith. And wow, what an incredible faith Abraham had. But to be truthful this morning, this is more than just a story in the Bible for us. For me and Dev, it's something that we've actually been journeying through and walking through the last few months in our lives. You know, one thing that Dev and I have done ever since we got married is we've taken some time at the start of every single year to put aside some time to pray and seek God about the things in our lives. And we put everything on the table. We put our finances and our marriage, and we put all of it on the table, and we allow God to speak to us, because God is a speaking God. And we believe that being in relationship with Him is the most fundamental thing that we can do as human beings. And so that's what we do. That's how we start every January. And this year was no exception. And so we left out some space and we carved out some time, and we prayed and we fasted and we sought God about our lives. And in that time of prayer, we felt that God was calling us into a new assignment. We felt that God was leading us into a new place, into a new assignment. And what's difficult is we don't know what that looks like, and we don't know where that is. So just like Abraham, feels like he's telling us to go into a land that he will show us. And we struggled with it back and forth because we love this place and we don't want to leave the rocks. But at the end of the day, we know that it's important that we're obedient to the call of God, that we say yes to this life of faith. And we've been talking to Pastor D and Pastor Mike over these last few months. And as heartbroken as we all are, we know that it's important for us as a couple and for this amazing church that we're all obedient to the call of God, that we're all obedient to being in the will of God. And I know that that will come as a shock to many of you if you've been here for a little while, because I hope you know how much Dev and I love this church. We love you, our church family. We love Pastor D, we love Hulda, we love Pastor Mike, and we love the leadership here. And we believe that this church is destined for great things. We know that this church is going to be significant in this community and in this city. But at the end of the day, we have to be obedient to the call of God. And we don't know what that next step looks like. We don't know where that will be, whether that will be in Perth or wherever, but we're trusting that God will show us where when the time is right. But don't worry, you can't get rid of us that easy. We're not going anywhere till about the end of July. And during that time, we're as committed as we always were to help build this church, to make sure that God's kingdom is advancing in our city and in our community. We're standing with Pastor Daniel and the leadership, and our prayer and our ask of you is that you would pray for us at this time, but also that you would stand with us and to support us and to come alongside in unity as we build this church that we love so much. And that's probably all I'm going to say about that right now, because I'm not sure I can get through much more. But someone asked me the other day, don't you find it heartbreaking that you have to leave this place that you love so much? And don't you find it scary to go into something that you don't even know what that's going to look like? And I said to them, yes, of course it is. It's scary, it's heartbreaking, it's very emotional, as you can tell. And in many ways, some days, it's also overwhelming. But as hard as this time is, and as hard as this season has been, for Dev and I, we found a peace in the middle of it all. Because you see, while there are so many things that we don't know, while there are so many questions that we can't answer, there is one thing that we know for sure. There's one thing that we know above all else. We know who God is. We know who He is. C.S. Lewis was a famous Christian writer, and he wrote the famous books, The Chronicles of Narnia. And in one of those books, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, John Piper paraphrases a really beautiful moment, and I'd like to read it to you. It says this, it says, Mr. Beaver tells Susan, there are two characters in the story. Mr. Beaver tells Susan that Aslan, the ruler of Narnia, is a great lion. And Susan is surprised, since she assumed that Aslan was a man. She then tells Mr. Beaver, I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. She asks Mr. Beaver if Aslan is safe, to which Mr. Beaver replies, safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he is good. He isn't safe, but he is good. You see, Narnia, it draws some parallels to the Christian faith because that's what C.S. Lewis intended. And the character of Aslan is based around the character of God. Of course, he isn't safe, but he is good. And God is not safe, not because he's not trustworthy, but God is not safe in the sense that he calls us out of our comfort zone. He calls us into a roller coaster ride, this journey of life, this journey of faith with him. He's not safe, but he is good. And just like when you step into or you step onto a roller coaster ride and you throw your hands up in the air, when we step into this roller coaster ride of faith, we too throw our hands up in the air and we relinquish control and we surrender control to the one who knows the end from the beginning. And when the roller coaster seems to zig, when you thought it was going to zag and you don't understand all the moving parts, you remember that his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You remember that his ways are higher than your ways, and you find a peace that transcends all understanding because you know the truth of who he is. He may not seem safe, but he is always good. He is always good. And that is the testimony of my whole life. In Psalm 37, it says, I was once young, but now I am old. But I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their children begging for bread. I have never seen the righteous forsaken because God is good, because God is faithful. He will never let you be forsaken. You can say with extreme confidence, like the psalmist says in Psalm 23, surely I am sure that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever because He is good. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord, lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways and He will direct your paths. Why? Because He's a good guide. You can be confident that you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You have a delightful inheritance in Him because He is good. And when He leads you, when He calls you into this life of faith, He leads you into life and life in abundance, the life that Jesus died to give us. And the same is true for you as well. His goodness, it runs after you. His goodness pursues you. With Him at your right hand, you will never be shaken. And the same is true for our church. Regardless of who goes and who comes, regardless of whatever happens, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against His. He is good. His goodness surrounds us. His goodness has gone ahead of us and His goodness is running after us. And because of His goodness, we can boldly declare that the best is yet to come, that we haven't seen anything yet. We can trust that He will move only what He can move. We will trust that He will do only what He can do. And my prayer for all of us here today, wherever you are, whatever you've come from, my prayer is that you would experience this goodness of God. That as you learn to hear His voice, you hear the voice of the one calling you into a life full of passion, a life full of purpose, a life full of significance and impact and fulfillment. And as you say yes to Him, I pray that you'll be willing to move, to act, to go, to stay, to be and do what He has called you to do. So what will you do today? What step will you take in this life of faith? Will you say yes to Him? Will you respond to the call of God? He's waiting for you, and you'll never regret it.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.